ahead and continue our media availabilities. We're now joined by Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 6 Ford for RFK Racing. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a mic over to you. We'll come down here to Jordan in the middle, and then Jeff and Jacob.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Tariffs are in the news a lot, and so from a team owner's perspective, one, is this concerning, and how are you kind of looking at this?
I can't say I put a ton of thought into it, Jordan, but a lot of our single source parts come from here in the United States, and I don't know a lot of them that don't, but that doesn't mean they're not affected, whether that be raw materials or so forth, but at this point in time, I don't see there being a drastic effect for us, but I don't know what I don't know.
I mean, this is a bit of a hypothetical, but the manufacturers are they're a little apprehensive, right? And there's some concern about their profit margins going down. If that's the case, theoretically, it could have a trickle-down effect where maybe they don't invest as much in the motorsports. Is that something, when you look at this scenario, like, hey, this could be a potential issue for us?
Yeah, it's hard to say what kind of lagging indicators are out there, but generally speaking, in the short term, everybody has contracts and commitments and all those things. Long term, it can't really answer much for it. I know that we're in a good spot with, all of our sponsors and, deals that we have. And I feel like you're never immune, but we're positioned well.
We'll come right here to Jeff, and then to Jacob, and then we're going to come back down to the front.
None of the RFK cars are running throwbacks this weekend. There's, I think, 19 that are not. So half the field's not doing throwbacks. From a team owner perspective, how has the calculus shifted to run your traditional primary schemes versus going with the throwbacks on a weekend like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to get all the different people to line up to pull it off. And, for my car this weekend, with Castrana, we did throwbacks in the last few times here. Kind of like we ran out a little bit of energy to pull off one that was good enough to make a mark, so to speak. And the other thing is, these are, at least for us, we have global brands on our cars, and they have global initiatives and things that are going on, and they want to make sure they hit those. So we have limited windows to do that. It doesn't always work out. I think kind of body of work. On the throwback stuff, we've done a lot, and I'm really proud of what we've done. And maybe this year wasn't obviously our greatest for making that happen, but I suspect that'll come back around in the years to come. I do. Yeah, I do think so. It's difficult to get all the parties to join in and to participate. Year over year, it seems like it has this kind of ebbs and flows where you have partners that are super excited about it, and then the next year you have partners that are just kind of, and ultimately we need to make them happen.
We've got limited time, so I'm going to try to get to everyone. I know there's lots of questions, but we're going to go to Jacob and then come back to you, down here to Bob.
Jacob Simon, Race Face Digital. Brad, the two team cars in Chris and Ryan have been borderline stellar the past 4 or 5 weeks. Has there been a specific struggle with your team, with the 16, that's been hampering you guys to start the year? And does the speed that the 17 and the 16 have shown give you optimism that you guys can right the ship?
Yeah, I feel like we're going to do all the right things and get where we need to be. We just haven't got the results. We haven't qualified as well as we'd like to have. Neither has particularly the 60 car, but in the race we haven't been able to put together for a number of reasons. Some of it in our control, a lot of it not in our control. So it's been frustrating, but kind of have this feeling that we're getting a lot of the bad luck out of the way very early in the season, the overwhelming sentiments, and if we stay the course, that it'll come back to us. Yeah, I think for Jeremy, there's a lot of transition coming to RFK, learning all the tools and trying to understand how to maximize them. And I can see him understanding them to a higher level every week, and that improves our communication and ability to generate results. So I'm pretty optimistic.
We'll have Dustin right next to him.
So do you know what to fix, and do you feel like you can get close to winning, or do you feel like you can still point your way in? I mean, you definitely still point your way in. We just don't want to. We want to win our way in. And, you know, this is a I look at the next 4 or 5 weeks, and they're all tracks that we feel like we can win at. So it's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did. You know, we know that we need to qualify better. And we know that we need to, our race execution hasn't been bad, but if we started further up front, we wouldn't get caught up in other people's problems or get caught up in yellow flags during pit cycles and things of that nature. So I feel like, yes, we know we need to do better.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. With the relationship with Ware Racing, what might be the impact of their legal situation at this point upon you guys?
Yeah, too early to tell. And read the court documents, the majority of it was redacted. So not knowing what's said in there, I don't think it's too early to tell.
Also, I know Steve Phelps talked on the NASCAR podcast about the owner's advisory group with you, Heather and Justin, and looking further ahead. What are things that you're hoping to be able to look at and maybe potentially accomplish? And I'm also just curious just how much you've been around Heather and Justin, if you're kind of getting to know them a little bit more.
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for both Heather and Justin, so I'll answer that part first. Justin's really an outside-the-box thinker, you know, and kind of runs in a different pack, which I appreciate, brings a few points that maybe I wouldn't have thought of, I would say that. I think that's good. And, you know, Heather is, you know, she's a family name in the sport. She's clearly very invested and has a son running in the sport and, you know, has a passion for it that I respect and appreciate as well. Altogether, you know, it's hard to pick one initiative that's important. There's a lot of important initiatives. You know, probably one that, if there's two that stand out to me, it's, you know, the end of the season and how we continue to make it the best we can for our fans, whether it be the racetracks we go to or the schedule as a whole with respect to, you know, when the season ends, when it starts. I mean, that's something that I'm really keen to try to spend a few years on, and the group is as a whole. And beyond that, I think what stands out a lot is just kind of garage personnel and relationships and culture that we have, and you know, trying to solidify it as a place to work, whether it be for team members or officials or whatnot, and trying to make it the best place we can. Those two have probably taken the priority for me. Here and, you know, everything that's somewhat proprietary nature to discuss, but I think you're on the right path of, you know, the world is changing around us, and we have to continue to adapt to that, whether it be Super Bowl moving or different opportunities that exist with you know, our broadcast partners that didn't exist before, and you're just trying to maximize those opportunities and adapt to the world.
I'm going to go to Lee in the middle, and then over here.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. You have 3 wins at Bristol. What are your thoughts on the current package? Should they race their last season and will likely come back for next week?
Yeah, I mean, we're big guessing game is the tires. You know, we went there last spring and the tires didn't hold up very well. The dynamics of the race shifted fairly drastically. And then we came back in the fall and the tires didn't wear at all. And that was another shift to the dynamics of the race. So trying to understand which one of those is going to be the case is probably the biggest question.
What did Keselowski's have planned for the off-week?
A nice Easter celebration with my kids. We haven't figured out exactly where, but we're going to have a good time.
Chris Murdoch, NASCAR.com. Going back to Jacob's question, Ryan Preece has kind of been on a solid start the last few races with 3 straight top tens. What is the addition of him to RFK, and what have you seen out of him in these first 7 races?
Yeah, I think Ryan is doing all the things he needs to do, whether that be on the track see or off the track with a lot of things that you don't see, and whether that's different settings of meetings or his work ethic as a whole has been very high, and we're just trying to make sure that he's surrounded with the right things to go with his work ethic, that they can become potential advantages for him on the racetrack. So he's certainly putting in the effort. He's highly focused, highly motivated, and it's nice to see him with his results.
Come right here to Deb, right in the front, and then in the middle to Shane.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. Brett, I want to go back to the throwback paint schemes. I had a marketing person tell me that a lot of the problem comes in if these paint schemes are trademarked. And I know the Wood Brothers had to go to England to whoever has Jimmy Clark's legal thing there. How difficult is it to get some of these paint schemes for throwbacks due to the trademarks?
Yeah, it's a big lift, without a doubt, for the marketing and partnership teams that are inside all these organizations to make it happen. And there's a lot of conversations, and it takes months of planning, maybe even years of planning in some cases, to execute. And I was having this conversation with Kevin Harvick a few weeks ago when we were talking about when he ran the 29 during the All-Star race, and I know that's not this, but it's calls with partners, it's calls with trademarks, it's calls over. And you kind of get to the point, you're like, I just want to race. when you do get the project done and you see it on the track, or you hear from the fans, and whether it be social media or wherever else it might be, when you hit a good one, it's definitely.
Brad, Shane Connick, Charlotte Observer. I remember a couple of years ago you talked about how you've embraced social media. So now with you, I know maybe it could be with pitch strategy. I know certain teams have certain people. Have you embraced AI at all with NASCAR in any way?
Yeah, I think NASCAR has been pretty heavy in AI for a long time. It just maybe isn't branded that way. If you took it to the AI world, they would clearly say it is. But, I think that for, no small part of the last decade, plus, the use of AI and how the race cars are put together and how they're set up has been gradually becoming more and more of a dominant force in the results that we see in education. To the point now where, particularly with the next-gen car, where the race is more and more driven by how you bolt it together rather than component development. Using any type of artificial intelligence, it moves the needle for us. And we're going to continue to double down on that. We're seeing more and more interest from AI partners in the sport, and I suspect that it's going to be a big storyline for our sport for decades to come. It's kind of like, if you go back through the late 80s, early 90s, when aerodynamics really came into NASCAR in a really heavy way, you don't unlearn those things. And now I look at artificial intelligence and what NASCAR is doing with it, and the teams don't really talk about it. Not publicly. We talk about it a lot within the OEM circles. We talk about it a lot in the hiring practices and in those types of settings, but particularly not within the media. Does NASCAR really talk about at the team level the importance of AI? But I can tell you, every team on the track today is using some level of AI to just purely compete, and the ones with the better tools are going to run better.
We'll take one final question from Hunter over to the left.
Hunter Thomas, TheFourthTurn.com. Brad, you spent a lot of time in Florence earlier this week. How do you like getting out in the communities around the racetracks? And then also, when you see kids or adults kind of fighting for their health, does that give you kind of an extra fire to, perform well, even though you try to perform well every time?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a reminder of, how fortunate we are whenever you have those opportunities to go to hospitals and see people who aren't doing as well off. We get so caught up in our good weekends and our bad weekends and sometimes lose sight of the broader picture of just how fortunate we are just to be here. We probably wouldn't be very good competitors if we just felt fortunate to be here, though, so it's probably pretty natural. but it's your point. It's nice to get out in the community to see our fans, to tell our story. You know, big credit to NASCAR and their vision for the DAP program. I think it's really moving the needle, inspiring a lot of people to do things that they wouldn't have done elsewise. And being more involved in the community, I don't want to take all the credit. I mean, look at what the other drivers are doing. They're doing this much more. And I think you're seeing that because of NASCAR's commitment back to the drivers. So it's a great time in the sport. And so, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about what the sport doesn't get right and very little time talking about what the sport does get right.